To a Nerd Science episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined tonight by the man behind the sound effects. That is Agent 70.
What's up, what's up?
And we also have PCN underscore Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hi, Mom. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, that is next week.
Yes, it is. Happy and another reason for a bye week, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely no show next week.
And maybe I'll do it all by myself.
Actually, it might be not. It depends where I'm at. If I'm actually at home, maybe I'll record a little short something. Actually, I might do something Friday or Saturday over the weekend. We'll see.
Well, see, we're doing all of our Thanksgiving stuff at like noon, you know. So by the time, you know, this point of the night next week, everyone else in the household will be asleep. It'll be all turkey coma.
That's right.
Be out of it for a while. So then the house is mine.
Depends on if, I don't know if I'll be at home or if I'll be at Adam Black's house. So, and then my high school, 15-year high school reunion is that Friday. So next Friday night. We never had a 10-year, so getting together for the 15 instead.
Nice. Jeez,
I think next year is my 20.
Mm-mm. In my age, this year is my 20.
Yeah, so 1 year older than me. There you go.
So, and so I'll be going.
Tim's a little pup.
Yep.
I'm the middle pup on the show. But, yeah, so last week, Agent 70 and Dirt recorded episode 45.
We're up to 45. We held it down.
Yeah, we're getting close to number 50.
It was the best show we've ever done.
I'm anxious to watch it this weekend. Let people know, at least right now, if they're watching live, because we record on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. But let them know where they can go find the episode right now.
Well, right now, if you want to catch last week's episode of Comic Book Chronicles, you have to head over to PopCultureNetwork.com. As you know, Pop Culture Network and The Click Nation do a lot of stuff in association with each other. So last week, as Tim was gone, we recorded the show without him. Like I said, it was a fantastic show. And you can catch it over at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Yeah. So, again, many thanks to them. And so now episode 46, and we're getting closer to 50. We'll, of course, hit 50 before the end of the year. So we need to try to figure out something special to do for number 50. I believe Roddy Cat was saying we need to, of course, since we're getting close to end of year, we need to do end of year type awards.
Yeah.
Best of, worst of, things of that nature. So if you have any thoughts or ideas for that, make sure to hit us up and let us know what you want to see on our 50th.
Sure, hit us up on our Twitter handles.
We need to do an award for, like, the Brian Wood hottest, sexiest book of the year or something like that.
What would get your vote?
I don't know at this point. I'll have to look around. I don't know, maybe Afterlife with Archie. That's pretty sexy, right? That's hot.
I don't know. I read X-Men number 7 that came out this week, and that was pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
Anybody, Anybody grope females in that book?
Any what?
Anybody grope some females in that book?
Oh. No, but there are some strong-looking females in the book drawn by Terry Dodson.
Yes, yes, yes. Agreed.
So, of course, go to the website, theclicknation.com, to watch previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews once I start doing those again, once I'm back feeling healthy and not sickly like I am tonight. And as Agent 70 said, follow us on our Twitter handles. As you see, if you're watching the video live now, you see I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70, and Dirt is at PCN_Dirt.
I am.
Follow the Facebook account, facebook.com/TheClickNation, or like the Facebook account, because Facebook does likes. We're on Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page. Just search for TheClickNation and the community, TheClickNation community. YouTube.com/TheClickNation. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, search for TheClickNation. And my brother was nice enough this week to create a Twitter handle for the Comic Book Chronicles, which I haven't used yet, but if you want to go find it, I believe it's at CBCron.
Nice.
Yes. And there's he created an email address for it also, comicbookchronicles@gmail.com. So once I actually feel like it, I'll start using the email account and the Twitter handle. Probably sometime next week or after the holidays.
Sounds good.
And I think that's all the plugging I usually do at the beginning of these shows. I take a week off now. I'm a little rusty. But I do know that usually after the plugging, we get to news. So
that's what we do.
That's what we do. Stormwatch was canceled. Or announced to be canceled.
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody really surprised and or upset?
No and no. I will say I'm upset that the Wildstorm characters couldn't catch on in the New 52.
I'm not surprised. I don't think they did a very good job of trying to integrate them, really.
Well, I mean, to be honest, most of the Wildstorm characters didn't catch on. I mean, Jim Lee sold it to DC because it wasn't making money on its own. You know what I mean? So it's like they tried. Integrated some of them, and they tried to mix them in. But, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, they weren't characters that were, you know, very strong or had a big fan base to begin with.
I'm so – like the only Wildstorm stuff I know is from when Wildstorm first launched, you know, back when Wildcats was, I guess, sort of
– new and fresh.
The covert ops team, or whatever the cat stood for, I forget now.
Covert action team, I think.
Yeah, covert action team, and I'm trying to remember who, Grifter and Backlash, or Blacklash, whatever his name was called.
Right.
Back then, and I know they went through a bunch of different iterations after I stopped collecting comic books during the dark period, as
the
I call
dark
it.
Dark period.
AKA the period when I was in college and I really couldn't. Afford to collect. So I'm not sure what exactly happened during that time, and that I'm sure that's when the readership fell. And so
did any of those Image launch books like really break out? I mean, Spawn is still going, but it doesn't sell in very high numbers. It's just kind of lurking.
Yeah, Spawn and Savage Dragon probably.
Yeah, and Savage Dragon is also limping along. You know, that doesn't sell in very high numbers. And Youngblood is like a joke of the comic book industry. And Wildcats has disappeared. And
Shadowhawk has disappeared.
Yeah.
Pit never went anywhere. Union never went
anywhere. What was the Top Cow one?
Cyberforce.
Fathom? Oh, Cyberforce.
Cyberforce, which they tried bringing back, and they had to do it for free to be able to get them.
It has a book now, doesn't it?
Yeah, they just relaunched it, and the first, like, four issues were supposed to be free. And then after that, you're supposed to buy it, and nobody's buying it.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I picked that up when it was free, and, it wasn't that engaging, honestly.
It was free, and I was like, ooh, free comic. And then I started reading it, and I got about halfway through, and I was just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah.
So.
So yeah, C'est la vie, Stormwatch. But I guess when the announcement was made earlier this week, they did one good thing about it is the final issue is going to be drawn by one of the people that participated in the Harley Quinn Zero. And
I guess technically Wildcats though hasn't been a New 52 book, has it?
Mm-mm. They just had Stormwatch. It was Stormwatch, Grifter, and who was the stripper?
Voodoo.
Oh.
A couple of characters have appeared in other books, like Ravagers and
Hellspont was in Action.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Yeah.
But oh well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Marvel announced the new mystery member of Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be. I thought they would get the spoiler music.
Spoilers. Only because when we found out, I was like, really?
It makes sense. Like I said, when I saw it, I was like, okay, yeah, it actually makes sense. The character. So yeah, he did the Dean Dean. So spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
We're about to talk about it. It's Venom, who of course it's the alien symbiote.
Right, that's their justification for it. It's the alien symbiote.
So that's the cosmic connection.
Right. So is he getting a new host?
It looks like Agent Venom.
Right, you know, gun-toting.
Or still Flash Thompson?
Sold. Well, we don't know.
We have to see next week's Superior Spider-Man arc, Deadly Hours or whatever it's called, how that ends.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Do we have that?
I hope so. I hope we also have Uncanny Avengers.
Hmm.
Here, hold on. Let me check.
Well, he checks that. So, yeah. So, in next May 2014, Marvel has their free comic book day issue where it'll be a dual story of the Guardians, the all new Guardians of the Galaxy with new members, Captain Marvel and Venom. And then the second story is going to be a Dan Slott written Superior Spider-Man story that's going to kickstart, I guess, the end is what it's being billed as.
Okay, we've got the Superior Spider-Man for next week, but I don't see Uncanny Avengers. I see Uncanny X-Force, Wolverine the X-Men, Superior X-Men, Superior Carnage, Avengers Arena, Scarlet Spider, Savage Wolverine, New Avengers, Indestructible Hulk, FF, Deadpool, Ultimate Comics, X-Men, Avengers Assemble, All New X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Hawkeye.
I like how they put New Avengers in there, but I have to wait to read Infinity before I read that.
Oh, no, wait. New Avengers isn't completely unlocked yet. Hold on. It's like it's there, but you can't actually read it yet.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But yeah, because it takes place after Infinity number 6, which is the end of that, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Yeah, which I noticed they didn't give review copies of Infinity 6.
Well, yeah, I figured they'd never give the final part of the event series.
I guess, but I mean, it's Infinity. I mean, it's like Secret Invasion. It's one of those where you're going to get to the end, it's like, meh.
Just sets up the next stage.
Yeah.
Whenever that Inhumanity number 1 comes out from Corpil and Fraction, that'll be, I'm guaranteed that'll be a advanced review.
Yep.
They always, any new number 1 is always almost an advanced review, I've noticed, from Marvel.
They want that word out there early.
Yep. But, so yeah. And when that free comic book issue comes out, it's going to be Nick Bradshaw from Wolverine X-Men will be joining the art team. Because Wolverine the X-Men is canceled. Did y'all talk about that last week?
Yeah, we did.
That's my co-host.
Although Young Avengers is also canceled, so I'm guessing they're going to do Wolverine and the Young Avengers.
Well, Bleeding Cool had the little article talking about some Utopians book that maybe like will merge all the young hero books together.
Well, you can read that one. I'll let you know that one.
that's right up my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's all you, Jim.
Oh, and our faithful watcher, at Dirk Kikas on Twitter says the Gen 13 characters were misused in the new 52.
Yes,
I'd agree with that.
Who are the Gen 13 characters?
Fairchild, yeah, was in Ravager,
Grunge,
Rotzy, Burnout.
Right.
Meh. And was it Lynch? Lynch was in Team 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, Team 7 had a couple of the.
Right, Deathblow appeared, I believe, and Grifter, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, they could do a Deathblow book, and I'd probably buy that one.
I keep thinking.
Right, he always had a great look, but there was nothing to the character. I read the first couple of issues. There was nothing to him.
It's when it came back after, I think it was after Wildstorm was sold to DC. They came back and they did, I think it was like a 6-issue series on that one, and that was pretty good.
Okay.
Well,
I'm glad they did something with the character. There were a couple of great art pieces by Jim Lee aping Frank Miller.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, that were really cool. Like, there were a couple of really great posters. I had a Deathblow poster in my dorm room because the art was just really cool. It was a cover to number one.
I keep thinking Grifter is a character they could, if used correctly, could be interesting.
He's just a Gambit with a rag on his face.
Yeah, I guess the visual. I thought he dumped the trench coat in the...
Oh, did he? Okay.
Actually, Gambit has two.
That's funny.
Speaking of Gambit, I'm actually looking forward to all new X-Factor. But back to news. DC released a Thanksgiving image for Batman Eternal.
With no Bat-Cow. What is that about?
Because Bat-Cow... That was in that other book that is going to be canceled or was canceled. Batman
Inc. Was it Batman Incorporated? Yeah. I'll take 4 Bat-Cow books over Batwoman any day.
So.
Dun dun dun.
For those that watched the DC All Access YouTube show, was it Jeff Johns or Dan Ditto or somebody? Gave clues from the image, like pay attention to James. Look at his body language. Looks like he's under arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And there was an owl, of course, on the tree because the Court of Owls is a big thing now.
I've got it here. Yeah, Jim Gordon, his hands are tied. There's a bunch of bones on the ground, a bunch of skeletons underneath the cooking. The Bat Hound is back. Penguin's Island, his iceberg island is still floating. Professor Pig is back. There's also,
surprised they didn't have that Carrie Kelly chick.
There are a couple of people I don't recognize.
Oh, yeah, is that Nightwing with the blonde hair?
Right. A lot of people are speculating that.
Or it's a new one, new Nightwing. But behind Batwoman, there's some guy with like a red hood, half mask, and I'm not sure if he's supposed to be what was the Mexican Batman from Batman Incorporated or if he's a different character because he looks too thin to be that guy, but that's what the guy in Batman Incorporated wore. To be the same guy or not. And Alfred is wearing a straitjacket. I don't know what that means.
So, of course, we have to wait
till... I didn't even notice that, now that I look at it.
Till February.
See, there's Alfred in a straitjacket.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Like I said, I didn't even notice that the first time.
If I can get the glare to go away.
That's maybe all right. I've got the image on. Maybe.
What do you think about the, you probably don't care, but what do you think about the rumor of James Tynion taking over Nightwing?
Doesn't mean much to me. How about you, Dirk?
I mean, he's all right.
The only reason I bring it up is for some reason I started thinking about it last night with, the whole DC Entertainment or Warner Brothers copyrighting Nightwing and all this stuff. Is he going to be in the Batman Superman movie, or is he going to be on his own TV show or appear on Arrow? getting this higher profile made me wonder, you know, if, you know, if Nightwing's going to get this higher profile, then probably, of course, they want to put one of Scott Snyder's people on the main book. That's the only reason I thought about it.
Well, I'm almost wondering, where the Batman has already been canceled, I'm almost wondering if a Nightwing series is the next thing they're going to try.
Animated or TV?
Yeah, animated series.
I heard something about that. Dirt?
Oh, boy. That was...
Was that a week or two ago?
Oh, no. It's been a while. It was like a month and a half, 2 months ago. It just kind of disappeared. And Cartoon Network, all they would say is the show is not currently on the schedule. And sometimes when networks say something like that, it means it'll... January is like a mid-season, whatever. Right. But on Cartoon Network, that's the same thing that they did with Green Lantern and Young Justice, is they just kind of disappeared, and they're like, well...
Yeah, they just copied and pasted the same press release from last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know what the deal is with those DC shows, although
what's
I know...
What's going on? Why is that they can't, why is it that they can't maintain an audience?
I don't think the problem with Young Justice was so much that they couldn't maintain an audience, but they wanted something that skewed younger. And they wanted to bring in Teen Titans Go, and having two teams that are pretty much the same characters was confusing. So they dropped the one for the older crowd to go for the younger skewed right. show. Beware the Batman, though. I've got a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I tried with them to watch the show, and they just thought it was too creepy and scary, and they didn't want to watch it.
Wow. I didn't find it that
obviously. Well, like you're not five. And eight.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, this is something that they've been saying for several years, is that male action type cartoon just really can't get a foothold anymore. The big one was Thundercats a couple of years ago. That was supposed to be a huge deal, and they pushed all the toys, and they had the show, and all these people were tuning in the show. But it just couldn't get a foothold on that for whatever reason, that boys, you know, market. It's like that market is Pokemon and Ben 10. You know,
I mean, I think Avengers Assemble is still doing okay. I haven't watched it in a while.
Avengers Assemble skews a little differently. It's a little more younger friendly. Stuff like Young Justice has that overall arc,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like episode to episode to episode to episode is building the story.
Right.
Whereas Avengers Assemble still kind of breaks down into that. You can watch that little cartoon and be done with it, you know.
That's the whole point of why they got rid of – well, one of the reasons they got rid of Earth's Mightiest Heroes, besides it not being produced by Disney, was Jeff Loeb said they wanted episodes that continued the story one after another. He said that it was too hard for kids to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Right.
They need something 30 minutes and it's done.
And the only thing that's really that's new that's kind of come along and really gained a foothold is Turtles, the new Turtles series. But part of that's part of the nostalgia. There's a lot more older people that watch Turtles. But then it's also made for very young. It's not made for, you know, 12 to 14 as much as it's made for like the 6 to 9-year-olds, you know. So it's also kind of skewing itself a little younger. But I think if they were to take the shows like, you know, Green Lantern, Young Justice, Beware the Batman, these shows that are a little older, and instead of trying to do them as a Saturday morning or a weekday morning type show, if they were to make them a late night Saturday, late night Friday show, they'd probably do a lot better.
I want to say Thundercats was a Friday show. Young Justice was too at one point.
Well, there were also some other problems with Thundercats that also had to do with the toy line. And the success of the toy line was also tied into the success of the show. And the toys didn't do as well, partly because of some quality issues and partly because of the price points that they chose on those. So when the toys – because now, like this year, if you go around to like Big Lots has the Thunder Tanks for $10. If you go to places like Tuesday Morning, which is another closeout type store, they've got the Tower of Omens playset for $10. You know, and these were things that were $30 to $50 a couple years ago when the show was on, and now they finally emptied the warehouse and liquidated them through some of these closeout stores. So you're really starting to see that how much of this stuff just didn't sell. And because the toy line didn't sell, that also is part of the reason why the shows were canceled.
I also want to Ultimate Spider-Man seems to be one of those shows that got a foothold.
Yeah, but that's another one that also kind of skews a little younger.
Yeah, it definitely skews young.
Yeah, that's not for 14-year-olds as much.
It's sad when there's Man and Avengers and Hulk comic book, cartoon series on, and I watch neither of them.
And you know what it is? I catch up, you know, in I sort of binge watch them because, you know, I just don't have time to, you know, tune in. So, you know, you know, like some people DVR, some people find and just watch them, you know, in a row.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those. I'm definitely one of those.
I don't even know. I watched a couple episodes of Avengers Assemble, and I watched season one of Ultimate Spider-Man, but I was just like, I don't care anymore. I get my enjoyment from the books instead. And when is Disney / Marvel going to do a X-Men cartoon again, damn it?
I don't know if they have the rights. I think Fox still has the rights to the cartoon, right?
Yeah, might have the same deal.
Does Sony have rights to the Spider-Man cartoon then? No?
No, there was something else, though, with the Sony deal, because they had worked out whatever rights with...
I think they bought the Spidey cartoon rights back. It was like straight money.
Yeah.
The X-Men, what's funny about the X-Men deal, I mean, I don't know what the details, now that I think about it. Think about this. Wolverine has already showed up in Ultimate Spidey. So maybe, you know, maybe there's some X-Men rights that have come back, but, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't do a full X-Men cartoon. I think the time is right.
Well, it's because it's X-Men and X-Men suck.
Nah.
I'll ignore that, but it also thought, it also, you know, what iteration could they put for a cartoon? Because usually the cartoon will try to sort of mirror something that's going on in the books, kind of, sort of. It's like, what would they... Yeah, it's like, what would they... What version of the team would be on the show?
There is no version of the team right now.
They could do Wolverine and the X-Men. They could do Wolverine full of younger kids. I mean, that's something that would fit.
Yeah, years ago. Or at least that same named
cartoon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I completely forgot about that one.
That did exist.
And that had terrible toys also.
It all comes down to the toys, I see.
Oh, it does.
I also want Young Justice on Blu-ray, damn it. All the one and two. Oh, yeah, see. You reminded me of something. What is it? I know Amazing Spider-Man 2. I saw some article talking about, you know, how they're building their Spider-Man universe, and they want to have like spin-off movies and after Amazing Spider-Man 4, and the Wolverine, Mangold, he was saying that the Wolverine sequel will use another Wolverine comic book story, but he didn't say which one he was going to use. So take that for what it's worth.
I wonder what that could be.
He probably doesn't know. He said he has a story in mind. Of course, it makes me think to what current stories could they use now, because everything current has to be used, even though was old. Because makes me think, like, the Fantastic Four getting their red color scheme outfits makes me wonder, for universe movie reboots, are they going to have red in their uniforms? Everything that happens in the comics, I think, ties into movies somehow.
And it could also be one of those things where they give them the blue suits, and then halfway through they have that big battle that they lose, and they're up, so they have to go back and, you know, they got to regroup and repower, and they get the new red suits, you know, for the big final battle. You know, they can do something like that.
They, the Karate Kids, you're the best around. You're the best
around. Training then, montage, baby.
And then they'll do some sort of joke where Human Torch is like, I don't. It's like, we have to do this. Who else would be the Fantastic Four? Incredible Hulk, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man? I don't think so, buddy.
See, did we ever talk about Thor? Did we ever talk about Thor: The Dark World?
I haven't seen it yet. That's why we haven't talked about it.
Okay. I saw it last week.
Hey, Dirk, did you get around to seeing it?
No.
So I'm planning on seeing it tomorrow, or at least some point over the weekend. So maybe next week we'll do a quick review.
Okay. I will say I was not crazy about the mid-credit scene.
Oh, okay.
That is all.
Well, understood. I can tell you that when I can watch it from the comfort of my own home, but I'm not going to pay $8 to $10 to go see it.
So we'll talk about it in...
You can talk about it whenever. You're not going to spoil it for me.
All right. We'll talk about it after Thanksgiving because I won't be watching it until Saturday or Sunday.
All right.
All righty. What else we got in news? There's a couple things going on, I think. Wait, what did... did we talk about the Flash getting a stand?
No, but thank you for bringing that up. So he was going to have a backdoor pilot near the end of season 2 of Arrow, but CW decided to cancel that and just give him his own full pilot whenever the Flash show starts.
Yeah. If anything, Warner is having a lot more luck with their live action stuff. As opposed to their cartoons. So, you know, more power to them. At least they're getting the word out.
Their direct-to-Blu-ray movies still do really, really good.
Right. Right. It's their serialized cartoons.
Yeah, for some reason, weekly cartoons just haven't been working for them.
Speaking of which, the Justice League War had a release date sometime, I think, February? Mm-hmm. It's year 2014.
Okay. All right, let's see here. There's a little bit of news, you know, as the general counsel of the Comic Book Chronicles, I am qualified to talk about this. Warner Brothers has won the most recent appellate court decision over the Superman rights in its battle against the estates of Schuster, actually. So the Siegel case was decided, you know, the Siegel family heirs had decided that their share of the rights previously, and ultimately now the courts of brothers has the copyrights to Superman, and no one else, you know, they're the sole copyright owner, and no one else has any right that's a claim. Any form of ownership over Superman. So now they're free to go forward and do what they want with the character. Kind of sad. They still, you know, Siegel and Schuster still get their names, you know, up on the credits whenever there's in the comics on the first page. But, you know, that's the first real lesson that every comic book creator remembers now is to, you know, shield themselves and their own ideas from, shielding them from the big corporate companies.
Well, I mean, part of that is the whole work for hire, you know, argument. For a lot of those guys, it's like you do the work now and you get a paycheck now. And if the book fails, you don't give the money back.
Right.
But if the book is wildly in the company that, you know, really made the investment on it, they're the one that they're going to reap the rewards.
Exactly. But nowadays with, you know, crowdfunding means of gaining, you know, monetary support for comics, you know, maybe creators have different pathways to getting published and getting their characters out there. So
I think part of the thing that when about these cases, people kind of, I think they forget about some of the details where, you know, mm-hmm. was as much a force behind a lot of the characters as Jack Kirby. But, you know, Jack Kirby was the one who gets a lot of attention. Bob Kane created Batman, technically, even though, you know, he lifted a lot of his material from other stuff.
Right.
But, you know, it wasn't really his work on the character that made it as popular and that gave it all the other characters and made it, you know, what it was. If, you know, Siegel and Schuster had been people working on Superman for 20 years and it became something, you might have a different argument that maybe you could make, but so many different people, you know, threw their creativity into the well, it's kind of hard to say that they created the initial ideas, but it's not really like you could say that the success of the characters is because of them,
right?
You know, themselves. So I think it kind of gets muddied, and it's like, yes, you know, Warner Brothers has made a ton of money off of Superman, and if they were to lose the rights, the company would, you know, crumble in many ways. But at the same time, they were the ones putting up the money, you know, to keep the books going. Right. And lean publishing years where people weren't buying that many comics, it's not like comic creators were saying, well, I'll fund my own Batman comics.
Right.
Give you the money.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, listen, it's a product of, you know, the whole situation is just a product of the times and just the way work was, you know, work for hire worked back then, for lack of a better way. So, but anyway, moving on. Any other news before these comics?
I'm done.
All right, let's move on.
So, comic book news or comic book reviews.
Yay!
This is the point where I start scrolling down the comic list site, waiting for Dirt.
Which they've redone. Did you guys notice that they redid it this week?
No. I use Comixology's pull list website for all my
comic list.
But I see. Do your kids read the Adventure Time and regular show books from Boom?
Care.
Okay. So I can keep scrolling to Dark Horse.
Anybody, Bueller?
I want to read Buzzkill. Get a chance yet. I like the series in general.
I like issue one. I still haven't read issue two yet.
I like the idea of it. You know, clever idea that this guy gets superpowers from being drunk and wasted and, you know, uncontrollable. He goes into rehab and all the villains decide that this is the best thing for them because he won't be drunk and powerful anymore. Like, it's a really neat idea. I just haven't had a chance to read, was this issue three?
And Brain Boy number three. I've read issue one. I still haven't read issue two yet.
Same here. Same here. I liked issue one.
Yeah, I did too.
All right.
I think I'm a fan
Sorry about
of
that.
You're off the show.
I think I'm a fan of Lente, however you say it. So that's Dark Horse. Is there anything else in there? All right, the fifth Beatle thing came out.
Yes, I actually wanted to mention that. I wanted to pick that up, just didn't have a chance to really look at it.
I didn't realize that was this week. They sent me a review copy of that.
How was it?
I don't know. I mean, I got the email. I was saving the email to, because I'm thinking, actually, they sent it like 2 weeks ago. I was going to at least flip through it.
That's funny.
I can pass it to you if you want to give it a read.
Yeah, you can.
All right.
That's not a problem. All right, anything else?
Some Star Wars books, and yep, that's it. I don't see anyone else interrupting, so.
Yeah, right?
Going twice, go. DC had some stuff.
Anybody DC?
What? DC books? Never heard of it.
There wasn't much for me to
I read half of a DC book before
this. Oh, no!
See, I tried to like, spread it around. I read, like, four books from this actual week. So, but
all right. Well, where are we gonna start?
I mean, I can jump straight to Harley Quinn number zero.
No. Forever Evil. Forever Evil. Rogues Rebellion.
Ooh, okay. Oh, talk about that.
If you read the latest issue of Forever Evil, I think it was three
last night.
Okay. Well, it showed the Rogues fighting with who was it? Death. Deathshade, or what the hell is that guy's name? Firestorm.
Deathstorm.
Yeah, Deathstorm and Power Ring. I started reading this book, and I got a couple pages into it, and I'm like, I've read this story. What is this new? Are we sure this is new this week? And then I realized it's retelling part of that story from Forever Evil. But then it gets to a point where they jump through the mirror and the mirror shatters. And instead of following, I think it was Captain Cold, who you saw in Forever Evil, meet up with Lex Luthor and Bizarro. Instead, this follows the rest of the rogues and it tells their story of what's happening at the same time. So I actually really enjoyed this because it is really directly tying into Forever Evil. And it is really, you know, while this one character in this, the rest of his teammates are over here somewhere else trying to figure out how to link back together. And they do end up in Metropolis. And so you get to see what Metropolis looks like without Superman to save everybody. So that's kind of a, you know, depressing sight to see. So I did enjoy this book a lot, especially because it ties into Forever Evil. And this is one of those that if you just read Forever Evil and you didn't read the first issue of this, at least, you know, read this part of the story of what happens to the rest of the rogues after they get separated from Captain Cold and Forever Evil. Like, this ties in very well.
Okay. Side note, I saw Forever Evil Argus came out last week. Did y'all read that?
I did.
No.
Argus was the weakest of the three books. So Rogue's Rebellion is good. Arkham War is good. But the Argus one, it's just Steve Trevor in a bunch of rubble trying to find other people to put a team together to try to fight the bad guys. I mean, that's really all it is.
The Arkham War didn't really do much for me. I have to see how the second issue is, I guess.
Well, that was the one with Bane, and that told the story of Bane coming in and doing his thing. So,
I did like him splitting up the Gotham into different precincts or districts for the villains. That was kind of cool.
Well, actually, the villains are doing that. Bane wants to come in and wipe out all the villains and put it all under his territory. That's the point of the war there.
Greedy bastard.
I just thought Argus, it really didn't, it felt like what happened in the entire issue could have been like the first five pages of, oh no, the bad guys have coming, what the heck is going on, and stuff's blowing up, and hey, we need to get the team together, but like that's all they did in the first issue.
Okay. Okay, I guess if no one read Green Lantern's New Guardians 25, then we can do Harley Quinn number 0.
Go for it.
With the various creative teams. Actually, the writers are Amanda Connor and Jim Palmiotti, with about 12 different artists who each got a page to illustrate. And so far, it's, like I said, I'm only like halfway through it. It's actually kind of fun. I liked seeing all the different artists, and I liked how they acknowledged who the writers were for the most part, except for whichever one was set like in, it was the page where Harley Quinn was a sexy secretary. They never said who the artist was on that page, but I liked the art, whoever that was.
Okay.
You just like sexy secretaries.
Hey, who doesn't, man?
That is true. But, you know, they had, like, Jim Lee and Tony Daniel and Becky Cloonan.
Charlie Adlard, Art Balthazar, Darwin Cook, Sam Keith, Bruce Timm, Stephanie Rue, Trad Moore, Chad Harden, Adam Hughes, Dave Johnson, Dan Panosian.
I think that's Stefan Rue. I think that's a dude.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Jeremy Roberts and Walter Simonson.
Yeah, Walt Simonson.
Yeah, his page. It's funny because like, I was looking at his page and I was like, who did this? And then she finally said Simonson because she's fourth wall and all throughout the whole thing. As various websites said, she's DC's version of Deadpool.
Oh, is that how they're playing her? Okay.
Yes. So
I'll find out when I finally get around to reading this. That's
we'll see if I actually keep reading the ongoing or not, because I don't read Deadpool either, half for this reason. But yeah, the issue 0 was fun, at least the half that I've read. Anyone else read it besides me?
Nope.
I just flipped through it. Big Harley Quinn fan in the first place, so. Like, man.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. J.
Any more DC?
Anybody?
I did read.
Did you read He-Man?
Oh, I. You know what? Here, I'll let me grab this. Problem that they have, they got Dan Abnett to start writing it, and Abnett and Lenning are the two guys who do all the outer space stuff.
Right.
At Marvel, they did a Nova, and they were doing
all that. Right.
Yeah, all of that great stuff. So they bring in Dan Abnett to do the story, and the story's pretty good. But then they bring in Raphael Kenayanan. I don't know how you pronounce his name. And his art is literally scribbles.
Yikes.
I mean, so, it looks like he's got a Sharpie in one hand and white out in the other hand, and he's just kind of scribbling side and white lining on top of the other side and just kind of working through the whole page that way. And it's like, I don't know how the colorist can color this book, because the artwork on the inside, like, is there. And Moss Man, they've basically turned into the Swamp Thing of the He-Man universe. So he's got giant plant tentacles coming out and, you know, creating vines and everything. And it's just like random smears of black lines just kind of just all over the page. And you can't, like, where the vines are wrapped around the person and where the person is. You just kind of see a face in this jumble of black loops. And it just... If this was someone's, like, college credit art class experimentation, then, boy, that's kind of interesting. But as a comic book I paid $3 for that I'm trying to – it was just terrible. Like, I just – I hope this guy is only for this two-part story and he doesn't come back, because I just can't. I can't take it. That's pretty terrible. Thumbs down on that one. But Supergirl – Supergirl was actually a lot of fun. As part of this Krypton Return story, they've split the Superboy and Supergirl at different times in Krypton history, Kryptonian history, I guess, whatever. And so she's fighting these clones in the past, like clone – I want to say Clone War, but that's a Star Wars thing. On Krypton, they were trying to, you know, doing a lot with eugenics and trying to create the perfect beings, and everything is controlled in a lab and whatever. And these clones are almost like mutants, where they're not completely like a fully formed being, but because they're alive, they're struggling to exist. And she's kind of stuck in the midst of them, and they don't know, you know, they don't want to trust her. They don't know who she is, why she's there. Creates all these, you know, uncomfortable situations where they're trying to attack her, and Hell reappears.
Hell!
And the thing is, they do one of these stories where Hell is attacking Superboy at one point in time and Supergirl time, but he's doing both simultaneously. So Hell, if he gets a Supergirl, he's bleeding in Superboy's time. And then he says something to Superboy and Supergirl's too. So Hell has somehow developed this power to exist in more than one time simultaneously. So it makes for, you know, it's kind of giving you certain parts of the story that I guess they'll flesh out, like, you know, in the next issue, whatever, they'll show you the other sides of what's happening. But I kind of like that hard to follow time travel stuff, so I kind of enjoyed it, but I could see how a lot of other people would
get frustrated. You know,
yeah, they would take one look at that kind of give up. So
have you been keeping up with the Krypton Returns?
Yeah, I have.
Do you like it?
I like it so far. It's a question of where they're going with it, or exactly how it all plays out. I know that they've already announced that at some point in the next month or so, as part of this, I guess, that Superboy is going to die, be replaced by a different Superboy. So I'm just kind of waiting to see how that actually plays out. And on the one hand, it's kind of like, now that I know that that's happening, I'm kind of waiting for that point to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost afraid that my expectation for how that's going to play out may be too high for when it actually comes. But, I mean, so far, I enjoy the story.
I like that cover artist.
Yeah, that's very manga inspired, right?
I know he did the Superboy and I guess the other issue covers. I guess I'm assuming they're all interlocking.
Yeah. Paulo Sequeira, he's good. I mean, if you're an artist, you don't care so much about the story, but you want to just look at pretty artwork, I mean, this is the book for that. He does some gorgeous stuff in here.
Nice.
That's why.
And it gives you some nice Supergirl butt shots for all you guys that like that.
Yeah. Says we need to check out Zenoscope to get that.
Poor Zenoscope.
All right. I'm assuming that does it for DC.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Wonder Woman 25, huh?
No. I'm thinking about, I started reading Wonder Woman a couple of months ago, and now I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I haven't even read The Wake. I mean, it's, Wake number 5, I haven't read that.
I mean, Wonder Woman's fine, but, you know, I gotta start, you know, gotta trim the list down somewhat.
Hmm.
Or at least try to make time for other stuff.
Yep. Wow, good of cover.
There you go.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't even know what button, what sound effect to click on.
I don't know, like, laughter. You need like a... Hubba hubba.
Any dynamite? Entertainment?
They still do comics?
That's what they say. let's see, IDW, My Little Pony. Book, of course.
Actually, yeah. One of my kids' favorite comics. I gave my daughter this one, and I was still doing the inventory when they came home from school, and she goes, oh, what's this other one inside? And I go, well, that's the blank one that just looks like this. There's nothing to it. And she goes, oh, well, this is all my own. And I'm like, well, yeah, you could do that. So she traded in the one that actually had the artwork on it for the blank one so that she could draw her own cover. So, although I have to say, the one thing that IDW is doing this month is they have these retailer incentives, which are basically what a cover looks like before it goes to print, where it shows, you know, the artwork drawn in, and then you've got, you know, how this the logo is cut from somewhere else and taped on top, and how all this, you know, the company logo on the side and the credits and everything are all pasted on top, and it's got all the notes around the edges, you know, talking about coloring notes and who certain characters are and things like that. These artist edition covers are the retailer incentives that you have to order like 10 or 15 copies of in order to get. So they did this for G.I. Joe, Transformers, you know, My Little Pony, whatever. So if you buy any of those books, you might want to check with your retailer and see if they have these variants, because they are interesting to see. I mean, even if you're not a My Little Pony fan, to look and see the registration marks and the penciler notes on the sides and all that kind of stuff, it's at least interesting to look at.
Let's see. There's a Ben 10 number one.
Which my son knew nothing of Ben 10, but he read this one and he enjoyed it and he wants to keep getting the series.
Need to get him into the cartoon series.
Well, it's on Netflix. He'll get to it eventually.
I say that like I've actually watched an episode of Ben 10.
Well, he's on Astro Boy. Right now he's discovered the Astro Boy series, so he's watching a lot of that.
I will say that I do enjoy, or I do have appreciation that Ben 10 is one of those series that he started out as a little kid and he's grown over the years, like Dragon Ball Z. I like stuff like that, where the characters age as the series progresses. And there was Samurai Jack number 2, which I need to read number 1. Even.
Did you watch the show a lot back in the day?
No.
I watched the show. I love the show.
So
I read the first issue and I wasn't that impressed. I mean, the art was pretty authentic looking, you know, in that it definitely followed the character models. But I think, you know, one of the cool things about the show was that it was so dynamic and it's just not as easily captured on the static page. you know. So that's, you know, that's my take on it. I'm going to try to read, get around to reading number two and see how the story progresses.
I like the writer is entertaining on Twitter, so I said I'm going to try to read some of his stuff.
Jim Zub. Yeah. I just wanted to mention one of our faithful watchers slash listeners, Roddy Cat, tweeted, how does one read a comic book strictly for the art slash artist? I don't get that.
Easy.
It's because you don't care about the story.
Yeah, you don't care about the story. You're not actually reading the book. You're it's like a flip book.
Yeah, it's like a flip book. It's like an art book.
Yeah, it's an art book. You're just, oh, this page looks nice. Oh, here's another nice looking one.
Right. The sequential art and storytelling just, you know, kind of lost on us. You know, if you're just looking at it for the art.
I will say it needs to be like a superhero book for me to just enjoy the art. It can't just be like people standing around talking the entire time. If that makes a difference. Hmm. Okay. Image. What's worth mentioning?
It wasn't a lot that came out this week.
Yeah, Sex Criminals number 3. I finally read number 2 last week. Yeah, it's like a lot of stuff's been on hype. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't seen I just noticed like Invincible Universe hasn't come out with anything in a while, and it's about time for like Velvet number 2 and Deadly, whatever the controversial book.
Pretty Deadly. What was it?
Pretty Deadly.
Right.
Things like that.
The one I haven't read this latest issue, but I have read, this is issue 5, and I think I've read up through 3 of Sheltered. And it's basically a group of like survival preppers, I guess they're called, building like their own little community where they're going to have their own water supply, and they've got guns. Doomsday preppers. Yeah, yeah. The kids being raised by the Doomsday preppers realize they take the thought of the Doomsday prep to the next extreme, and they think to themselves, if we have to survive, the resources are going to be scarce, then the best way for the children to survive is to kill off the adults, because the adults are going to use more resources than the kids, and that's more for the kids, and the kids are going to live longer.
I had to click laugh on that. I thought that was pretty funny.
Idea, like, that makes sense. You know, if you're
taking, need to kill the adults.
Yeah. If you're going to take it to that extreme, if you're going to take it to that extreme of, you know, you have to survive over everybody else, have to survive over the adults. So the idea of Sheltered is that the kids are basically running this revolution against the grown-ups, and they're killing off the adults in order. And I, like I said, I haven't read issue 4, but I do, you know, plan on reading 4 and 5 on this. And it has been a good, you know, a good drama type series. Like, it's not a superhero book. There's no zombies or anything like that. It's really just, you know, these people trying to figure things out. And so as far as that goes, it's a very good story along those lines. A character study, I guess you could say.
Ah. Okay. So that's Image. I guess we're to Marvel now.
All new Marvel.
Not yet. I just wanted to mention, since I, you know, going through Comic List, I noticed that, you know, a book that we thought was out last week but hadn't really hit stores yet was from Fantagraphics. It's Hip Hop. And I picked up my copy today. I ran to Forbidden Planet so I could have it to show on the show. The cover, you know, this is a treasure book. This thing is huge. I can't even get it on the screen.
Is that hardcover?
It is not a hardcover. It's like a weird, you know, in between soft and hard. There's definitely a cardstock type cover.
But it's like it got that plastic coating to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's a, you know, it's a great package. Just like what we were discussing, the pages are kind of like this artificially aged, you know, yellowed newsprint style, but you can definitely tell it's not newsprint. The annotation is definitely top notch. I've only made it through 40 plus pages. And I was getting a lot of second looks subway on the way home reading this because it's treasury size too. So, you know, you've got this big, gigantic comic book and everyone's watching me read it. And I can tell you that, you know, I wearing headphones, no one wanted to like stop me and say, hey, what are you reading? But, you know, I'm wondering if maybe if I wasn't, you know, being completely antisocial, someone would have said, hey, you know, excuse me, can I talk to you? But I'm definitely enjoying this. You know, like I said, I'm only about 40 some odd pages in. And this book, I believe, is the first of a couple of volumes because it only goes up to a point in history, you know, that's still fairly early on in the history of hip hop. So I'm looking forward to additional volumes of this. So Hip Hop Family Tree, everybody, if you can find it, you'll probably be you'll probably find yourself lucky if you go to the bigger comic book stores, or you can find this on Amazon. I believe Roddy Cat might be one of our listeners who found this on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that your store probably won't stock, but right. I believe it is still available through the distributor. So if you ask them to order it for you, they can still order it and
definitely
get it shipped in a week or two.
Definitely. So give this a shot, people.
You heard the man.
All right.
Yay! Now it's Marvel Now.
Let's see. Avengers number 23. Final core Avenger book before Infinity number 6 drops next week.
Okay. And you can tell by my clapping, I was very jazzed reading this day.
Yeah, it was fun. I was never crazy about the Neil Hughes art. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple, like, when he first started on, I'm assuming it was New Avengers with Bendis. Because I remember reading a couple of issues, like, seeing the book here and seeing, I guess it was right before Secret Invasion started. And I was like, I don't know, his art just looked kind of like, it didn't look clean to me.
Right, it's definitely not the
world. But now, I guess maybe I have a better appreciation now. It's like, his stuff is awesome. This Avengers work is. And I like this Hulk stuff earlier in the year, too. Right.
I mean, he's definitely evolved a lot. Like, he started out he's been in this business a long time. He was doing Wolverine for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I liked his stuff when he was doing the Dark Wolverine, when that first took over the Wolverine, when Wolverine just kind of switched it. I think it was issue 75 and became Dark Wolverine.
Oh, that's really recent. I'm talking about like when he was doing regular Wolverine, like way back when.
Well, I think when he was doing that Dark Wolverine stuff, I really liked.
Mm-hmm. I think coloring has a lot to do with creating depth. And I think coloring, you know, like you've heard me say it before about Garney's work on Thor. Now, the coloring now, the way colors are really manipulating our depth perception with the different shades and the hues, it's really adding a lot to the art.
But this issue of Avengers 23 dealt with the Avengers off-world trying to get past the peak station, board peak station, to get back to Earth to stop Thanos. And I liked the little opening segment with and Steve and the different alien different leaders of the alien races helping to stop the Black Dwarf on the Peak Station. So that's basically all the issue.
I love this book. It was action packed. Like, this is something that gets you out of the midday doldrums at work. Believe me. I was lunch break and I was like, yeah, son, you know, it's definitely, I was definitely ready for, I'm definitely ready for Infinity number 6 because, you know, there was just a couple of just great moments in this. And it's so weird, you know, to see, you know, former enemies, you know, obviously standing together, you know, with, you know, spoiler alert, you know, but it's hard to say spoiler because they've been kind of fighting on the same side for 6 issues. Come on now, people. it's funny to see like color the Super Skrull and Ronan the Accuser and Glenn, you know, kind of teaming up and Annihilus as well, you know, teaming up to take down the Black Dwarf, Thanos's I guess, you know, general that was protecting the space station. It was kind of cool. I enjoyed this issue. You know, I was torn. I wanted, you know, I thought about maybe putting up, you know, Hip Hop Family Tree as my click of the week, but this, I think, was my click of the week. There's a great scene in this, spoiler alert again, with Shang-Chi. I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm trying to remember that scene.
Well, basically, he's left standing.
Him teleporting and whatnot, but
no, Shang-Chi, master of kung fu, not Manifold.
Yeah, I'm saying he got transported with Manifold and
right.
Widow. All right, so that's Avengers 23. Did Dirt read Cataclysm the Ultimates number 1 of 3?
I did.
What'd you think?
Well, let's see here. I'm trying to remember which one this was. There's been so many Cataclysm books in the last couple of weeks, and they all kind of trod this.
So far, I've read the 0, the 0.1 issue, and Cataclysm, the last and number 1.
I mean, part of the problem with what they're doing with these books is that they know that there are some people that read Ultimates that don't read X-Men. Some people that read X-Men that don't read Ultimate Spider-Man. There's some people that read Spider-Man. So it's like each one of these books covers a lot of the same period in time where Galactus kind of appears and everybody freaks out. So it's like it's straight what's happening in which book because they overlap so much. The big thing in this one is that you find out there's a cult, AIM, that is actually worshiping Galactus because they look at him and they look at his technology and they look at the Galactus swarm and they just realize that that's the best, you know, highest pinnacle of technology. And so they worship and they're getting ready. They're ready to sacrifice themselves for Galactus so that he's like the natural next step in evolution to be part of Galactus. And S.H.I.E.L.D. Decides that it's time for them to break out their secret weapon. So I won't spoil what it is, but S.H.I.E.L.D. has this secret weapon that they've been holding at bay for a while now, and they realize that if anything is going to stand up to Galactus, this is their secret weapon that's going to do it. And that's where it ends. So, I mean, it's if you're reading all the Ultimate stuff, it feels like you're reading a lot of the same. But I guess if you haven't read, you know, the other book, this will probably be exciting because you're seeing all this stuff kind of unfold for the first time.
Right.
Okay. I'm just going around seeing what books people might have read.
Did you read Longshot? Did anybody read Longshot?
I read Daredevil.
Okay, well. Let's see, Daredevil comes first.
You know, this is you know, the previous issue ended on a pretty wild cliffhanger, and this issue we see the mission of that, and we also get to see you know, it's kind of a weird two part story where some of the classic monsters in the Marvel U make an appearance in the Daredevil book, and it was just kind of weird and just kind of out of the blue. You know, Wade tries to tie it into this whole Sons of the Serpent storyline that he's been weaving for a while now, and it just seems out of place, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of it's still well done. So, you know, it's sad to see, you know, we all know that this run of Daredevil is gearing up its conclusion, and I'm kind of sad to see it go. This is kind of a weird two-part, you know, I don't want to say, you know, side trip, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but that's what it seemed like. You know, I still thought it was well done. It's kind of out of place in the grand story that Wade, I think, was telling in this particular
and it doesn't feel as important.
Yeah. Definitely not as important. And while we get Tim
Lawson. So,
Ricola.
That's right.
Hey. So, no, I haven't read Longshot Saves Marvel Universe number 2 yet. I'll get to it. I did read Superior Spider-Man Annual number 1. And this is supposedly ties into... As someone's phone goes off, it ties into...
It wasn't me this time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It ties into the main Superior Spider-Man book. And this has to do with the villain Blackout kidnapping Aunt May to try to blackmail Peter Parker to sabotage tech for Spider-Man.
No, not Aunt May!
I muted my mic that time. So... not too much. It, even though it ties to the main story, nothing really happens. Of course, Doc Ock, Spider-Man, saves Aunt May. He tortures Blackout, and Aunt May witnesses some of it. And now, like, there's word on the street is don't mess with Peter Parker or anyone that's associated with him or face the wrath of the Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think the big thing is Aunt May seeing Spider-Man torturing Blackout.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the big story hook for reading this. Because Blackout, basically, he's in this room full of meat hooks, and he, you know, gets his victims. Blackout's a vampire, so he's taking his victims and throwing them on the meat hooks and slowly draining the blood out, and he's threatening to do that to Aunt May. So when Spider-Man finally defeats him, he lets Aunt May escape. And then he grabs Blackout and throws him up on the meat hooks. And then he grabs, he grabs the, solar simulator that makes its own, you know, kind of, solar rays. And he starts like torturing him with this solar ray device, since he's a vampire. And Aunt May kind of turns around and peeks her head in and she sees Spider-Man, like, I don't know if he's peeling off his flesh or he's making arms fall off or what the deal is. You don't really get to see. You just hear the meaty screams coming from the warehouse. And word gets back to Green Goblin that everything has changed and that this is a totally new era for Spider-Man.
Mm. Is this the same Blackout that, like, first appeared in the Ghost Rider books? Like back, you know, when Danny Ketch was introduced
Was he a vampire with braids?
I think so. I think it's the same character.
Danny Ketch actually makes an appearance in this.
Oh, does he? So I think it is the same character. Wow. Yeah. So they
bring up the point that there's different Blackouts. So I forget which one they say this one is. But if you read it, you'll figure it out.
All right. I just wanted to mention one of our listeners/viewers, the Mixed Marvel Arts podcast, tweeted at me that they agree, they totally agree with my thoughts on Daredevil. So shout out to the Mixed Marvel Arts podcast.
You're just happy that someone finally agreed with you.
All true. Okay. Thanks for watching Mixed Marvel Arts. I got your... Yeah, you're a podcast on my iTunes right now.
Same.
What's the read? Uncanny X-Men number 14.
Yeah, no one read Secret Avengers 11, huh?
Did you read it?
Nope.
Yeah, I stopped reading Secret Avengers.
I'll get around to it eventually.
But Uncanny X-Men number 14, probably my favorite issue of Uncanny X-Men so far.
Nice.
And it was a simple issue just dealing with, I forget the dude's name, but his last name's Deeds. The guy that can change his appearance, as you see on the cover from Dirt right now. But it's him using, you basically it's the, you have a passive power set. All you do is change your appearance to look like someone else. But then Emma Frost sort of takes him under his wing and shows him, takes him out into the field, quote unquote, field being the real world, showing him how to use his power Like, go she takes him to the Atlantic City and says, go flirt with that woman. Because basically we learned that his power is more than just changing his appearance. It's he takes on the appearance of whoever he's next to, but then he also releases like pheromones and gets the person to feel comfortable around him. So, you know, sort of manipulation type skills. And then while he's doing that, she sends him on one last training session. And I won't say what that involves, but it ties back into sort of X-Men related stuff.
Okay.
And it was fun. Just the whole issue was fun.
Nice. And
they announced something about he still doesn't have a code name yet. They almost give him the name Morph. But
Morph? Yet.
They shoot that down. But there's a revelation about him in the book, which I won't spoil. And they treat it.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
And let's see. X-Men number 7, which Dork Geek has asked me earlier today if I had read. And I told him I'd get to it. And I did. Got to it after I got home today.
And Ryan Cat even has something to ask about this, too. With the Brian Wood revelation, would we still be reading this? Or do we even care about what happens to Brian Wood if we care about
the whole he flirted with someone?
Mm-hmm. I like this book. I read this today, and I actually enjoyed it.
I have no idea what's going on with Wood and whatnot, so I'm probably going to keep reading it. I guess that's my answer right now.
Right.
Especially because I enjoyed this issue.
I enjoyed it too. I'll probably keep reading it.
Just like with X-Men number 7, just like with Uncanny X-Men, X-Men number 7, probably my favorite issue so far of X-Men.
Okay.
Terry Dodson's art was great on it. And
agreed.
This is part 1 of 6, so get ready for a long story.
Yes.
But it was a nice setup for the the opening story. They briefly in the introduction page explained that how Kitty is not part of the book anymore, but they replace her with Monet, which I like, especially because I, you know, originally collected the Generation X book. I know nothing about her from that book.
Then till now, right?
Yeah, then till now. Like, I have no idea. I still, like, even back then when that book was in publication, they always just teased her power set.
Right, and they took her origin and just, there's so many twists and turns in it.
Yeah, I know she's been in X-Factor, so if I had read that, I probably would know everything that's been going on with her. But
right, sorry, Peter David, I haven't been reading it.
Yes.
Well, you and 3/4 of the comic book industry.
Right.
Hey.
Ooh.
So, yes, we know Dirt doesn't read X-Men stuff, so.
You know, and it's funny because when the whole Battle of the Atom thing started, I really enjoyed it. And I was like, hey, I may start reading X-Men stuff because I really enjoyed Battle of the Atom. And then Battle of the Atom ended, and I was like, nope, not reading X-Men stuff for a while.
So you did like Battle of the Atom?
Until the end.
Oh, okay. You didn't like the end. It ended in typical Marvel event fashion.
Nothing happening.
Yeah, nothing happening. Oh, Shield's making Sentinels. Why is that such a big surprise?
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
So yeah. I think that's all the Marvel stuff I read this week.
Yeah, anyone read Young Avengers?
Not yet. That's ending.
Yeah, me neither.
Did anybody read the Cable and the X-Force?
That is my book, but I have not got to it yet.
I'm surprised.
I like that cover.
I'm disappointed that the book's ending.
Yeah, because they're merging it to make it another X-Force book. How many X-Force books do we really need?
They're getting rid of the uncanny adjective. I thought that was in.
Speaking of this cover, isn't this the cover to The Social Network?
Don't tell me my man.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That movie.
That's right.
They'll tell me my man Salvador LaRocca's doing ripping off Greg Land.
No, don't say such things. Don't say such things. That's insulting.
Can I tell y'all how hyped I am for Uncanny Avengers next week? I read like the little comic book resources had the like the 4 or 6 page previews of it, and like how they're Rick Remender's tying into all these different timelines from like all his different books and other stuff in the Marvel Universe, like Marvel 2099 and all this stuff from his Uncanny X-Force run. And it's just, and then the art from Steve McNiven. I'm hyped.
That's cool. That's cool.
Because especially, especially with all the time stream stuff that's going on, it seems like it's going to set up probably like the next big event next year.
That's cool.
Did you guys hear that,
being able to do that
Wolverine Max is canceled?
Didn't it just start?
Well, this is issue 13, and I think it's going to stop at 15, maybe? 15 or 16 it's going to be ending.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Anybody out there reading it?
No. And I didn't read.
That's why it's ending.
I didn't even read the Marvel Knights X-Men last week.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I don't care about that.
It's just too many. It's just too many.
It's too much.
Hey, we didn't even talk this. We didn't talk TV shows this week. I just realized because nobody. Yeah, I didn't get to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything else.
It was the Thor tie-in.
Well, that's why I avoided it because I didn't want to episode.
And you wouldn't have missed one because.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. Yes.
How deeply does it tie in with Thor? Like, is it one of those things where if you haven't seen Thor, it's going to be...
It ruins nothing from Thor.
Oh, okay.
It ruins absolutely nothing from Thor.
I still want to watch Thor first.
Yeah. They go to clean the... They're like damage control.
Okay.
Oh, I like that book. That book can come back.
That's all they do. Okay. And they you should play a drinking game for every time they say Thor.
No kidding.
Yes. Thor.
Does Thor actually appear on the TV show?
Thor, of course. So spoiler.
Uh-oh.
This is for S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., not Thor. One of the, I guess, villains on the show is an Asgardian.
Is it an Asgardian from the movie?
Nope.
Oh.
Of course not.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just a guy that's been living on Earth, and he just happens to be an Asgardian. You know, he's been living on Earth forever. And they're like, they do have a funny joke. They're like, they ask him, does he know Thor? Because, you know, you got to say Thor and drink every time. They're like, do you know Thor? He's like, of course I do. And then there's like a pause. And he's like, no, I don't know Thor. he says he was like a welder or something like that on Asgard.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah.
That's funny.
And I missed Arrow last week and this week, so that'll be something I get to this weekend, hopefully.
All right.
I heard that Solomon Grundy's going to make an appearance.
No kidding.
On Arrow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Flash is going to make an appearance.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So bringing up Flash again. I don't... Does DC? I might assume DC has a plan here with the TV and movie universe. Like, I guess my main question is, people are like, I don't know if they're making an assumption or just saying or hoping that Flash will have his own TV show, but also appear in the movie universe and be played by the same random person that no one knows. I just don't see that happening.
I don't think so. I mean. When Green Arrow was on Smallville, that's not the same guy as Arrow now in his own series, right?
No.
I mean, is there any connection between the character on Smallville and this guy who's currently in Arrow?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I don't think there's going to be any sort of crossover in that regard.
So you think when Flashmates...
But that's weird now, because I think Smallville predates the whole synergy and like kind of, you know, crossing over that they want to do now. I mean, look, Marvel's doing it to a very small extent. And I think, Tim, you know, I think your instincts are right. I don't think they're going to tie in so much, but they may be laying the groundwork, like a framework for it. But I don't think they're going to use the same actors.
But I mean, if you look at the new Superman versus Batman movie, it's Superman from Man of Steel, but it's not Batman from The Dark Knight. I mean, it's a sequel to Man of Steel that happens to have Batman in it, but it's not Batman from any previous movie or TV show or series, you know, animated series or anything. I mean, it's just like its own Batman. That's one thing that DC always kind of does, is it's like the artist's interpretation. It's like when you make a movie is different from the comic. So when you make the movie, that's your thing. It exists where it exists on the TV screen or on the movie screen or whatever. It's not the comic series. And that's why, you know, Superman from Smallville is not the character from Man of Steel, the movie. You know, when you do these types of things, I don't think anything, as much as they may, you know, CW, if CW makes another CW show that ties in with a DC character, if they make a Flash TV show at the same time they're doing an Arrow TV show, you may see those characters interact, but you're not going to see a Man of Steel movie with this kid who plays Green Arrow coming in and being Green Arrow in the Man of Steel movie.
People, you know, like, yeah, people are like thinking that's going to happen. I don't see that happening.
No,
I can't see this TV. There's no. Nope. I keep saying no name TV people, but
yeah, no insult intended, right?
But I can't see these TV people. Like, I can't see Stephen Amell, whatever his name is, standing next to Jim Caviezel and who's playing Batman? Ben Affleck.
Affleck.
Same with this Flash dude, who looks like he's 14.
Yeah. I don't
think why give Flash a TV show when he could have a movie?
Well, but if they do a Flash movie, it'll be a different character completely from Flash TV show.
That's right. Just confuse
I think it's part. I think
yeah,
it's part
just confuse
of that,
everybody.
I think it is part of that idea, though, where, I mean, did anybody who watched Smallville forever get confused when they went and saw Man of Steel that it wasn't that kid? You know what I mean? Like, it's not – just DC has this thing where – artists create what they're doing. They just, they have an idea for the character and they put it in a different medium, and that's for them to do. You know, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, whatever. Like, those are their own thing. Like, that character will never appear in any other outlet except for there, and none of the other characters. Yeah, and none of the other versions of characters appeared in that, you know, universe. It's its own standalone thing. So they may do a Flash movie at some point that ties in with this Justice League, you know, framework world that they might be working with cinematically. But that doesn't have any impact on what might be happening with TV, and that won't impact anything that might happen with a animated series, and that won't impact anything that happens with comics. It's like each, you know, division is allowed to explore the world in their own way, and they may be successful, and they may be Green Lantern the movie. I mean, it's just, you got to let them try their own thing and see what they can do.
I think Green Lantern the movie has been on basic cable for the last couple of weeks, right? Has anyone watched it? No.
I have it on Blu-ray just because.
It was on tonight. If Fitz had it on.
Yeah, see, flipping. I know it's been on basic cable for the last week. That's funny. Poor Green Lantern.
Yeah. They almost had something.
Almost.
Almost.
I've watched that movie once. Sat in the movie theater and was very, very annoyed at having spent money on that.
I watched it a couple times, and it's, like I said, I've said this before, that if they had reworked it so he left to go train with the rest of the Green Lantern Corps as the end of the first movie, if like the entire first movie was him trying to figure out his powers and being attacked by Parallax and having no idea what the hell is going on, and he finally defeats Parallax, and right at the end, someone like Sinestro shows up and he's like, it's time for your training, and they fly off into space, and that's where it ends, I think that would have been a lot better than them trying to jam every character and every world and every subplot into that one movie.
Yes. I didn't buy Parallax. That was my thing. That was just silly. So, you know, anyway.
Your comic book movie will never prosper if your main villain is a floating mist.
Hello, Fantastic Four.
Or the original Hulk.
That's right. God.
Three good examples, people.
So it's not just a DC thing. It's a floating cloud villain yeah. thing. It only works for the fog.
There you go.
Quickly, I want to just name the Valiant books that came out this week.
Yay, Valiant.
Bloodshot and Hardcore, number 16. Eternal Warrior, number 3.
Exo Man of War.
Exo Man of War, number 19.
So Eternal Warrior, number 1 and 2 were pretty good. I just have to get around to reading number 3.
I did read 1 and 2, and I read Unity, which came out last week. Unity number 1, read that over the week, or last week.
Okay,
first issue. That's about all I can say for it.
All right.
So, I guess click of the week picks yes. now.
Well,
I've already spilled mine. Mine was Avengers number 23. That was awesome.
I guess since I typed up Uncanny X-Men and X-Men, I should choose between. I'll choose Uncanny X-Men number, whatever that was, 17?
14?
Yes. I was going to say, I haven't been that many issues. What would Dirt go with?
Scooby-Doo team up number 1. No. Hold on.
My Little Pony.
Gosh, I don't know. This to me was such a mediocre week.
It really was, which is good because it gave me time to catch up on stuff.
Oh, I enjoyed Avengers 23 immensely. I don't know about mediocre.
Next week's going to be big. At least for Marvel, next week's going to be big, I'm seeing. But DC, I'm not sure what they have next week.
I guess I would have to go with Supergirl. That was the one.
Yeah, you talked about that for a while.
The artwork was really good, and I am enjoying the Krypton Returns storyline. I know it's
with her
it's,
L.
I
love seeing it. That's
I awful. Can honestly say though that I know it's not for everybody, but I enjoyed it. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah, you've been hyping up Supergirl for a while, which is why I've added it to my reading list, even if I haven't read it in the last couple of weeks. It's on the list too.
Well, and one thing I noticed on this particular book is that the other writers for Superman and Superboy are credited on the cover. So they are working much more closely than some of the crossovers in the past where they are, you know, the group is sitting down together and figuring out what their characters are doing. And they're all collaborating on the story as opposed to this is the story through Supergirl's eyes written by this one person. And then when you read the next one, it's like, now it's all Superboy's story. You know, the other characters are appearing and they are, you know, interacting that way. So that's probably a good sign overall.
I do have a question for you. How do you feel about Supergirl joining the Red Lanterns?
Oh, good question.
Well,
that's going to be an interesting visual, huh?
When I read Lights Out,
I do not care.
Well, I mean, I don't. I'm not appalled or offended by it. You know, it's not like I'm suddenly I'm quitting this book. How dare they? When I read Lights Out, I enjoyed the Red Lanterns and I enjoyed what was going on with them and Guy Gardner. You know, he's like the mole, but he ends up, you know, basically taking their side and everything. So I'll give it a shot. I'm not, you know, I'm not dreading it. I'm not necessarily excited for it, but I'm not afraid of it. So I'll read it and see what happens.
I guess I want to see how they get to that point. Like what gets her to.
Yeah. As long as it makes sense and it's a good story, you know, I'm not, it's not, I can't sit there and say, well, this character would never do that. How dare they? You know, if they've got a story for it where it works, then I'll read it.
I still think it's going to be a very interesting visual.
All about the visual.
With the Red Lantern, you know what they do. They're basically puking half the time. So, you know, Supergirl puking the entire book. Yay!
So, yeah, I'm looking at DC's week. Next week isn't that bad. A lot of Marvel stuff. And, of course, some of the big ones, All New X-Men and Infinity.
Infinity's coming out next week. Awesome.
Uncanny Avengers, and then two Wolverine and the X-Men's, number 38 in the annual. And Spirit Spider-Man.
Jeez.
Nice. I always love those weeks when it's like All New X-Men, Superior Spider-Man, Avengers, and what's the other one that always comes out at the same time? It's like I'm missing one. It's like three or four big books always come out the same week because they are bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thanks for tuning into tonight's show.
Yeah!
Once again, follow us on our Twitter account. @TimDLG98 at TheClickNation. Agent70 is @Agent_70. Dirt is @PCN_Dirt. And he is @PopCultureNetwork.com. Check out his website.
Yeah.
Please. We will be taking the Thanksgiving week off, perhaps, more than likely. Just stay tuned to TheClickNation.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. And enjoy the turkey and dressing. And the family.
Did you just call me a jive turkey? Did you just call me a jive turkey?
I did. With your beard. Beard and glasses. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Yes, Dark One! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No. Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. Don't give a as long as them pages are hot. And it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.